Hello and welcome. Ronnie's Own Media and RonnieZone.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. My name is still Jeff Roney, and I'm joined by the wonderful, the lovely, the understanding,
Colleen Roney.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
What a week.
Yeah.
Wowie.
It's Thursday.
So, I wanted to just take a little bit of time to just kind of take a deep breath and say hi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel a little disconnected this week.
Yeah. Yeah. We both work in the computer-ish
IT world.
And if you haven't, it is really booming right now, just to say that right out.
Mm-hmm.
We work kind of in different parts of the same arena,
right.
And
right.
You work at a different company than I do. So.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's been wild.
It's been a wild ride. And yeah, like I said, I mean, tomorrow night I do have to work very late from 9:30 at night till 1:30 in the morning on Saturday morning. And it happens.
But we love all the peeps. We really
do.
And I'll have, you know, kind of a brief moment to look down and then shoot a quick tweet out to somebody.
Yeah.
And I know that you're in meetings and all that. So,
yeah, my day,
it's hard for you.
My days tend to be one meeting after another.
Yep.
And so I sometimes don't check Twitter until 4:30 in the afternoon, 5 o'clock.
Yep.
And by then I'm really trying to just kind of wrap things up and get ready to go home. So I don't tend to check until later. And I see that you already answered a lot of the stuff that I would normally, you know, maybe answer. So,
well,
I don't want to come across like we're complaining about it because we're so not. It's just, we just want to make sure that everybody understands we really, truly do love communicating with you guys. We really love getting the emails and the voicemails and the Twitter comments and stuff. It's just been a crazy, crazy last few weeks.
Nothing lasts forever.
Nope.
And so this is just kind of where we are right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a downer, but I just wanted to really kind of especially give you the opportunity to just say, look, you know, I care. I want to answer. I just, you know, tied up in meetings and all these different things.
So. And I do try to, you know, try to get caught up a little bit on, excuse me, I'm a little congested for some reason. I do try to get caught up on, you know, what's been said. Up to, you know, by the time I can get to it. And I don't always get a chance to. And so I see little posts from people here and there. And I'm like, oh, I really would have liked to have answered that like 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
But it's just, like I said, it's not forever. I have a release tomorrow night. I have another one next month that we had to schedule an emergency release. It's not normally scheduled. We do them every other month. And then we have another one scheduled for March. And I have nothing scheduled after that right now because we are planning to go into big time project mode, so we won't have any planned releases anyway. And I've taken on more responsibility at work too, so I not only do my normal job, I'm also doing a whole other role that normally is a whole different person.
Yeah,
so I've kind of blended the two together and I'm wearing two different hats, and sometimes I end up wearing a third hat and sometimes even a fourth.
Well, this is definitely not a normal beginning to these podcasts. But
no, it's not.
For sure, we wanted to let everybody know, and I have to say from my heart, and it sounds weird, but we love you guys. We really do. I mean, this is it is a weird thing to say, but a group of people that listen to a podcast, you know, I think we've really kind of become a family. You know, look, I get misty when I read some of the emails and some of the iTunes reviews and voicemails and things that come in, because it's so touching to hear people say, you know, I really enjoy listening to you on my bus ride. I really, you know, my mom and I watched the show together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really, and it's just so cool to be involved with something that really is bringing people together. Now there's little people here and there that got their problems and, you know, different things, but it's really neat that we can kind of come together around a show and like different parts of it mm-hmm. and really come together. And it's just, it's the coolest thing. So we really care about you guys.
We do.
And, you know, if we don't get back to you, please don't think that we don't care or that we're avoiding you. That is not the case at all.
No.
So one of the ways I think that I want to take care of this in one way is I'm going to get the forum together over the weekend, which hopefully is going to give people the opportunity to kind of have a better dialogue about theories and different things so that it's a place where people that listen to the show can also kind of communicate back and forth. Twitter's cool and Facebook's sure. fine, but this forum, you know, I mean, anyone can go there if they sign up and register and all that, but this is really for this show to kind of communicate. Mm-hmm. I don't bring out everything. We don't discuss everything, but that forum is for just hardcore, just theory people and people that want to say hi. People that say, I like that dress that the Evil Queen was wearing.
Right.
Whatever, you know, that's the really cool part of it is because I know that it's needed.
It's so, like an open mic.
Right. So again, this is a really strange introduction to this show. It's just never happened.
Hey there, check this. There's a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. Our blog web address is at aclosterlookouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show.
But for those of you who are new, just keep listening. Please don't just leave. And I wanted to kind of give you an idea of, in general, what the show is. Not only do we talk
right.
about the show, the theories, what we see, what we notice through our eyes and through the other things that we've enjoyed. But we also have fantastic listeners that call in their voicemails, send in their emails, tweet little things here and there. And we all together do this really cool thing. And I also want to kind of list off some other things that have happened along the way. Mm-hmm. We got a voicemail from Bashful. Who plays Bashful on the show, Meg Macario. That was amazing. But then we also got an email from him, Meg, and four other dwarves.
You mean a voicemail?
A voicemail. And that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had the opportunity to interview Caitlin, who designed and knitted Emma's baby blanket.
Mm-hmm.
The person that designed and knitted the blanket. We've also interviewed Christine, who has photographed Lee Ehrenberg. She met Josh Dallas, and she's really taken some great pictures and little videos here and there. She lives in the Steveston area, which is where they filmed the show.
Right.
And we
don't forget, you and I had lunch with Jeffrey Kaiser.
We absolutely did.
Who plays Dopey.
Yes.
In the show.
Yes.
We just managed to swing that somehow.
That was an incredible thing, the way that all really kind of came together.
Yeah.
And we also got a fantastic number of emails from Ken up in Steveston.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say hi to Ken and your wife. And thank you so much for taking your time. He filled in the map. I had a map of the street, Moncton Street,
mm-hmm.
up in Steveston. And he filled in all the different shops from Steveston as well as on the show.
Right.
Amazing. It's just so incredible. And he even filled in shops that we haven't seen yet. So it is.
And don't forget, didn't we have an ogre stop by?
Well, and that's another amazing thing. See, folks, this is not just a podcast. And that's what I'm trying to let you know. It's the fantastic listeners. It's the kind, kind cast. But then I'm looking at my phone and some of the screen caps I put up provocative questions like, did we find Jack from the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk? You know, just asking a question. I wasn't sure if it was an ogre or not. And so I look at my phone and I see there's a comment to that. And I'm going, wow, that's interesting. And I'm reading and it says, yes, it was an ogre. And it was signed Ernst the Ogre. And I went, wait a minute. And I looked and I went, that's him. So Ernst, who plays the ogre and the burly man from the show, looked at a number of our screen cap posts mm-hmm. and filled in some fantastic information about Ginger, who's also the blind witch.
It's amazing.
You know, and so this is what I'm talking about. And so, you know, we've had some kind of, you know, rough little tough things here and there, some review stuff and this and that. But this is more than a show. This is just a group of people that really care about each other and love the show. But we're attracting people. We're mm-hmm. attracting attention from the show. And I think it's fantastic. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody for listening and showing an interest and, you know, opening up your hearts and ears and lives to us and my wonderful wife, too. Yes. And I think it's really cool. So I just wanted to say thank you, first of all. Mm-hmm. But number two, I just want to say we've only just begun. This is not the end. I have so many more ideas. You've only seen just a little bit. And so when people say, well, the podcast is this and that and something else, I have so many more ideas. If you had an hour or two, I don't even think I could get them all in. But this is only the beginning. And so hang on. It's really, really, really going to get cool. And I'm already blown away. If we stopped right now, I would say this is the most amazing experience ever. But we're only going to keep going. So,
yeah.
All righty. So I wanted to talk a little about some things in True North that have come to me.
Okay.
So the first thing is...
I got a couple too.
Okay.
And maybe you have the same ones. I don't know.
Possibly. And then we have some awesome voicemails.
Yay.
So what I noticed is Nicholas practicing with the sling. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, Ava could really use that sling.
She nailed that guard.
And she hit the guard in the head.
Right between the eyes.
Which reminded me of a story in the Bible about a little child with a sling hitting a larger person in the head. So I thought that was very interesting.
Do you mean David and Goliath?
True.
Most people know that story, I think.
Yep. What I really love about the show is it takes things that we know and then kind of turns it around or flips it around. For instance, the savior that most people know is a man or a male, let's say.
Typically, yeah.
And so, but now we have a savior that's a female.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, too, that I noticed kind of to tie that in with what you're saying is, you know, the twins, Hansel and Gretel, and I don't recall if they were... I don't think it ever said that they were twins in the actual story. They're brother and sister, but I don't know about twins. What I found interesting was that Gretel was clearly the stronger of the two. Mm-hmm. She was the bigger of the two.
Right.
She was the more headstrong of the two. She kind of had the same characteristics. And even the queen even said, you remind me of me when I was your age.
Sure.
Strong female.
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting because in the story, Hansel's the one who sneaks out and gets the pebbles so that they can find their way home when they overhear their parents talking about having to kind of basically dump them off.
Right.
And he's the one who says, you know, tells Gretel, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He's the one who, you know, when the witch puts him in the cage, he's the one who finds the bone and tricks her by making her think that the bone is his finger. You know, I mean, it's kind of like they reverse this, the roles a little bit.
And the idea that a little girl could use a sling to kind of stun this guard.
Take him, this adult take him by guard, surprise. Right? Yeah.
And so I think, again, it's interesting is it's taking these people from these great historical stories or nursery rhymes or fairy tales. And
legends, et cetera.
Right. And they're turning him around.
Yeah.
Instead of a male, it's a female. So.
Yeah. And I mean, Emma even said in this, and we talked about this on our first thoughts podcast that, you know, Emma made the comment that, yeah, well, the stories in Henry's books are not your traditional stories the way we've traditionally heard them. So.
So it to me, it's almost like a fresh look at something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From a different point of view. Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. And we kind of mentioned the Savior and I always, that's one of those things where hopefully one of the glasses that you kind of wear when you watch the show is the Savior glasses. Mm-hmm. Always watch Emma to see what she's doing, because I think that there's this thematic level that you're watching not only her kind of go through the show and do the things that the script tells her to do, but even underneath there's this other level. Like she brought this family together and basically healed this broken family.
It's the second time she's done that for sure.
Right.
Because Cinderella was the first one.
True.
Where Ashley and Sean, she brought them back together.
So.
Just saying.
All these things that she's doing, you need to kind of look underneath, like the week before. She stood up for what was right.
Mm-hmm.
And she did right thing. And so these things are not just kind of throwaway things in a script. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're really kind of proving what kind of a savior she really is. So anyway, it's always interesting. Kind of off the cuff, kind of fun is Mr. Gold had the Aladdin's lamp that we've seen before. Mm-hmm. And I have a screen cap.
Yeah.
And just a quick thing is if all you listen to is the podcast and you don't go to the blog, you're missing out. Whole bunches of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Wicked Witch of the West bikes and stuff, and we got all kinds of stuff in that blog. And if you go check out the blog, you may see ogres leaving comments. You never know, but you got to go there and check it out. But Mr. Gold had the Aladdin's lamp right in front of him, and I'm wondering how long it's going to be. You know,
we see Aladdin.
We know he moves his things around in his shop.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't like to leave things in a certain spot for a long time.
He purposely moves things around.
So here's another thing is a question came up in the one of the blog comments is someone said the blind witch died in the fire.
Oh,
okay. Here's what I suggest, is you never fully believe everything that you see.
Well, because what, did we see her die in the fire? No, just saw the queen throw the fire through the mirror, and we saw the oven being lit up with the fire, but that doesn't mean that she didn't get out somehow.
Right.
We don't know.
So
anytime you see that, and it makes you think, oh yeah, well then she died in the fire. I wouldn't put too much stock in that.
Right.
Because you didn't see the final result. Until you see somebody actually dying, you can't say that they're dead.
And that sounds morbid, but the bottom line is these writers, they do kind of play tricks. And we've had a lot of MacGuffins. And we've talked about it before with Sheriff Graham and this is my world and all this kind of thing.
Right.
So
Never, when everyone thought he was the big bad wolf, and he so was not the big bad wolf.
And it's part of the fun. It's not. It is. It's not right or wrong.
But I was just pointing out the fact that they led us all down the path where we could have very easily come to that conclusion where it would have actually fit very nicely with what they were doing, and then they flipped it on its ear and said, "Nope, he's actually this instead." That's what I was trying to say.
I don't think I've said this before, but I think that as the blind witch was in the oven with the fire. And then once the evil queen kind of turned the magic mirror off, Rumpelstiltskin crawled in the window.
Wouldn't surprise me. He does that.
To get her out of there.
Yeah.
He probably asks for something. Don't know what, but.
He, number one, pops up where you least expect him. He likes to wheel and deal.
Absolutely. Now, I also thought it was interesting that the pain that the evil queen had, even back then, I mean, some people are saying that this was maybe the second earliest story or the earliest story or something like that. But even way back then, she realized, even though she was getting more power, that no one wanted to be around her.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, next to what Snow White did, I think that's the pain that she carries. Yeah. And, you know, even Regina, I mean, that's what Emma pointed out in the graveyard, you know, it's like nobody wants to be around you. Everyone's leaving you.
Right.
You know, hard in a box or not. You know, right. These people don't want to be around you.
Right. Well, and did you notice too, speaking of heart in a box, did you notice how when she said, you have a strong heart, and she reached out like she wanted to take her heart right then and there. And I was kind of afraid for a second she might have, but she's got an obsession with the heart.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yep. So, but yeah, that's the thing is, you know, and we briefly mentioned it before, is sometimes we're so used to these bad guys are just bad guys. But that's what I love about this show is they show you why and how it happened. Just Rumpelstiltskin is not all bad. He's a little good. And for you, a lot good.
Oh, he's a lot good.
Anyway.
It's funny. It's funny, too, because he's not like the hottest guy on the show. But there's something about him that is really appealing, especially after having seen.
Speaking of something about him.
What? Scared me.
Hey, I didn't catch your name.
That's because I didn't give it.
So we have.
I'm sorry, that just scared the living daylights out of me. I was not expecting the motorcycle noise. In my headphones, it's really loud.
Okay.
So I literally jumped. I was like freaking out thinking there was something coming in here.
We surprise people here.
Oh.
For the people that have kept on after all the discussion about business and stuff, you know, now we have a little fun. So, Mysterious Stranger Watch. What did you think of the Mysterious Stranger?
Okay, well, the first thing that I said was, oh, he's kind of hot.
Okay.
I'm just gut reaction. Now, I know that there's a lot of speculation. Well, who is he? I think there's you know, a number of things you could probably think about. Okay, so, Mysterious Stranger. Well, who do we know? Do we know for sure we're eventually going to see at some point that we just are not seeing right now, right? So we know for a fact that at some point in time, they're going to have a Beauty and the Beast episode because we know they cast Belle. And who is in the movie with Beauty and the Beast? Well, you have the Beast. We don't know his real name. He was a prince, but we don't know his name. You also have...
I think he was a doctor.
No, he wasn't.
I think he's Dr. Whale. Go ahead.
No, he's not.
I'm telling you.
That's you. That's who you think the big bad wolf is, but I'm not going to go there.
No. I think it could be the Beast.
Yeah.
Keep going.
What? Okay. And then you have in Beauty and the Beast, you also have Gaston. So he could very easily be one of those two characters. I don't know which one he is. Okay. There's not enough to know about him yet at this point. Secondly, we also know there's going to be a Little Mermaid. Right? Did we not get that there's cast? They've already cast for Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
So we know there's going to be a Little Mermaid. And in the Little Mermaid, there's Prince Eric. So those are my two choices. Now, I've heard also little, you know, whispers of Robin Hood. It's possible. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if he is. So we'll just have to see how that pans out. I think it's fascinating to kind of speculate.
Two things that really come to mind when he wrote up. First is I think he's going to save the Savior. I think that he is going to, he's either Henry's father or he is going to show Emma how to love, how to let it out. She's all walled in, all just hurt all of her life, the foster family, being alone, being on the outside. That's what I think. So,
okay, when you say save the Savior, right. I think immediately rescue. I don't think he's going to rescue her from squat.
Well,
but show her maybe how to kind of pull right. down that wall. Okay, yep. I could see yep. that. I could totally see that.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's a few other characters in Storybrooke who would love to let him
sure.
do the same right. thing for them. But as far as Henry's father, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because right. she wouldn't have asked his name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless, but again, you know, this is Emma.
No, you're right. You're right.
Oh, wait. No.
You're
no,
right.
I'll go down this path with you for a second. So what if he is Henry's father, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had to ask him what his name was in front of Henry because she just told Henry that his father died in a fire.
Right.
Ooh, so she goes, what are you doing here? You know, and then who's this? This is your father. Well, that would just totally destroy everything she did with Henry. But then for him to go along with it, maybe that was their little joke.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I'll go with you that far.
Okay.
Originally I didn't, but I'll kind of go with you there. I don't know that I would say that I subscribe to that theory, but you never know.
Okay.
But now, I can see it's very plausible how you came to that conclusion. Or how you could come to that conclusion.
Yeah, this podcast episode reminds me of our first and second and third one.
Really? Why yeah. is that?
Back in the old days,
yeah.
we would just kind of just talk and
mm-hmm.
rap and all that. Kind of cool.
Okay.
Okay, so the last thing I wanted to bring up is the box in the back of his motorcycle.
Mm, yeah.
Now, this is a stretch, but just go with me. Is if you have never seen J.J. Abrams' video of him speaking at the TED Expos, TED.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look up J.J. Abrams, TED, TED,
mm-hmm.
he tells, his presentation is about the magic box.
Mm.
And he said his grandfather bought him this magic box. And it was all wrapped up in paper. And he never opened it because that's why it was a mystery box and a mystery box. And the mystery was that he never opened it. And that's why that's what Lost was all about.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about the mystery of it.
Right.
And so I did see in the sneak peek where Henry said, what's in the box? And he goes, that's something I need to do something. And it's just the mystery of the box.
Hmm.
And when I saw that box, I said, there's J.J. Abrams via Damon down in the writers. It's just mystery. And that's really a lot of this show is just the mystery of what it is. And you never hear anyone really fully answer anything. Really. Mm,
true.
They
a lot of times they'll just show you things that right. answers the questions, but then it raises like three more.
Right.
And so, that's very, very typical of this group of folks.
For instance, there's a bunch of even emails to us.
Mm-hmm.
How old was Cinderella? Where's the timeline? Where does it fit in? You see, there's so many questions and there's mm-hmm. really no flat out answers yet. You know, what did Snow White do to Evil Queen? You know what I mean? There's always these. You get little half answers along the way, but never the full. So
what it feels like to me is there's a very large tapestry,
mm-hmm.
and they're showing us this very small little piece of it through the lens, and we're up close. Everything's kind of blurry. You can kind of make out some of the colors and the points, but there's still a lot of blurriness. You see things are connected, but you can't fully follow the threads.
Right.
And as we go along with this, you know, story, as long as the show keeps going, they're pulling back away from the tapestry so we can finally see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, we may never see the full big picture because it may just be that big of a tapestry. We won't be able to see the whole thing, but we'll at least get a better idea of where the whole story is.
We got an email
mm-hmm.
from a fabulous listener of who I cannot remember her name right now, and I apologize. But the end line is, I want to give my heart to this show,
mm-hmm.
but I'm wary of it
mm-hmm.
because she lived through the Lost thing.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that were let down at the end. And this is what I want to say to people that say, well, it's a commitment and all this, and, you know, the Sheriff Graham thing and all this. Enjoy today with as much as you can.
Right.
Because it's here. Tomorrow, you can't go back.
No.
And so you have to take a risk. And, you know, we're talking about different things and tapestries, and we may not see it all. And is this show going to last 8 seasons? How long is it going to last? Is it going to be whatever? Enjoy today.
Yeah, we don't know. And that's what I'm saying. This is, as you know, where we sit here and we have these questions. I mean, the fabulous thing is it opens our own minds to what our own imaginations have. So yeah. I think it just gives us the opportunity to kind of be creative for ourselves.
Sure.
Well, I think they could go here, and this is where I think they should do. And, you know, I don't know. There's something fun about that.
I mean, how many times would we have really discussed Hansel and Gretel without this show? I'll leave you with that.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what they've done.
Yeah.
So we have a number of voicemails and one from the East Coast of Canada.
Yay.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Colleen. It's Natasha here from the East Coast of Canada. I just wanted to call and say that I love your podcast. I've been, listening for a very long time, and I want to know, you know, that you guys are awesome. So keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you guys again soon. Bye.
Fantastic. Natasha, thank you so much
for calling. That's awesome.
She's been listening a long time.
Yeah.
It is really neat. Because I know that it is tough sometimes for folks in Canada to call. Because mm-hmm. I know how expensive it is.
Yeah.
And she took the time to figure out Skype and leave a message on the voicemail.
Very cool.
So thanks so much. You know, it's really neat. She is always a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anyway, it makes my heart good that she finally called in and we get to play and everybody gets to hear.
Yay.
Natasha. So thank you so much.
That's awesome.
Now I have got to do this. And Haven is filmed near where Natasha lives.
See, that's pretty amazing too.
Yeah. See, I remember some things.
You do.
That's not everything, but.
Well.
Oh, I forgot one thing.
What did you forget?
That on the SteveStonIVillage.com.
Yeah, yeah.
We are mentioned.
That's awesome.
Because of the street maps.
Go Ken.
See? Well, yeah, and I don't know how they found it, but they found it and they put us on their front page. So go to SteveStonIVillage.com, scroll down to the Steveston News, and you will see here is an interesting map for once upon a time fans who are learning more about Steveston.
Yay!
So that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
And now.
And now.
We're going to play some voicemails. Here we okay. go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Malini from Texas. I just heard the podcast, and what can I say? I'm just happy that you said my name, and if, you know, and I was really excited I heard my name, and yeah, you were right. We were really, I mean, Natasha and I were devastated. I don't know if you heard our rats on Twitter that night, well, we were really crazy. Like, we were talking back and forth, and we were quite upset. But, you know, when Ginny Goodwin tweeted her back, and she said, you know, we know that you love us, and we feel the love, and we feel a lot better. So I guess now that everyone knows that we love the show, it's all good, and hopefully it's here to stay. I just had like a theory. I was listening to your podcast just now, and there was this person who left a theory about how maybe Rumpelstiltskin was golden because of Midas. And then I remember an episode with the shepherd where Midas was going to turn David or the real Prince Charming's sword into gold. And when the servant was taking out his glove, he said, "Be careful. Remember what happened to Frederick." And I was thinking, okay, maybe Rumpelstiltskin has a connection to Frederick, or maybe Rumpelstiltskin is Frederick, or there's some kind of connection there. So I Googled Frenzy. I went on Google Frenzy and just went online and tried to look for stuff. And I found this really cool and interesting thing. And I think it just may be a pure coincidence. It might not even be related, but I just thought it was cool and I wanted to let you know. I found this book. It's called The Analyst, and it's by John Katzenbach. And I wanted to read you the plot synopsis so that you can hear it. So let me just read it. The synopsis is, on his 53rd birthday, New York psychoanalyst Dr. Frederick Stark receives a mysterious and threatening letter. Now he finds himself in the middle of a horrific game designed by a madman who calls himself Rumpelstiltskin. The rules? Guess his tormentor's real identity or Rumpelstiltskin will destroy one by one 52 of Stark's loved ones. So I just found it cool that there was a Frederick and a Rumpelstiltskin in one book together. And like I said, this could be a pure, sorry about the dog. This could be a pure coincidence. No, you know, so again, thank you. Thank you for saying my name again. And I will always forever be in love with the Once Upon a Time podcast and with you guys. So thank you. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Thank you so much, Melanie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Another one that makes my heart feel good.
Yes.
To listen to.
Oh, totally. I mean,
pet your dog, too. That's nice. I know.
We don't worry about the dogs. We love dogs. We do. So, no. Wow. That is really, really interesting.
Yep. I'm going to put a link to the book that Melanie was talking about in the show notes. So.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of backstory connection, whether it's direct or indirect, because I remember very distinctly that for Lost, a lot of the character names came from books that these guys were reading and from, you know, scientists and what have you that they knew of. So I wouldn't be surprised. These are pretty well-read people, and I have a feeling, coincidence or not, they may have maybe run across that book. I don't know. Just something to throw out there.
Yeah, I don't believe that there's too many kawinky dinks, you know? I don't know. So,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, check that book out and I will put a link in the show notes. Thank you.
I'm sure there's a couple of happy accidents, but not that many.
I'm not trying to go back and say it again and again, but it's so cool to play Natasha's voicemail and Melanie's voicemail. Cause they are two that have been around the longest.
Yeah, they've Twitter. Been really big cheerleaders of ours, and we appreciate them.
So it's really neat. Yeah.
It is.
Very
it's
cool.
It's very, very cool.
Okay, and here is another great voicemail. Here we go.
Hi, this is Dave from Michigan. I was just calling after listening to the two-hour podcast, which was awesome. I took a bunch of the theories that they had, and I kind of thought how they could play into each other. I have two theories to put forward. The first one was about the sacrificing of someone at the end to save, to give everybody else their happy endings. I think what's going to happen is perhaps and also the combining of this with the setting Emma up to become the Dark One. I think what's going to happen is that somehow Mr. Gold is going to set it up so that Henry has to kill him, or he tempts him into killing him because he thinks he's going to kill his mother. And he has to do it with the Rumpelstiltskin / Zozo Blade. And there's going to be a race for Emma to stop him. And either she's going to get stabbed with the blade and take the Dark One's powers, or she's going to take the blade from Henry and stab him and sacrifice herself to become the Dark One and turn all of the evil that was done with Rumpelstiltskin's curses and everything back to normal. The other one is a combination of my question about Abigail / whatever her name is in real life with the gold Midas touch thing, turning her into gold. Maybe she was a gold statue until they woke up Charlie. And Regina used whatever bit of magic. Maybe she was in one of the vaults or something. And she was able to, at that point, ungold her. Because gold may not kill her. It may preserve her like cryogenics. And that's what woke her up. So a couple of theories that I really, really put into play, and I liked them. And so I thought I'd share them with you guys. But I will be calling again Sunday night after the show, just like always, because I love talking to you guys about this stuff. And I'm looking forward to seeing Emma Caulfield, who played Anya on Buffy the Vampire Slayer as the Blind Witch in her younger days. So have a good one, and thanks for all the podcasts you guys do. They're awesome.
Thank you, Dave.
Wow. I'll tell you something. Dave has called a couple times, and he's got some pretty amazing theories.
Yeah.
He's got a very creative mind.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks of things that I certainly wouldn't have thought of, not because, I mean, just because I'm I don't think I'm as creative as he is. But he's got some great theories, and I kind of am fascinated by the whole sacrifice between Rumpelstiltskin and Henry and, you know, or Mr. Gold, I should say, and Henry, and then Emma, and I totally wouldn't be surprised if they do go down that path. And yeah, I mean, anything to do with hurting Emma, you know, Henry's going to either back off because that's what he's thinking will save her, or he may get the gumption to step in and try and do something.
Yeah. Well, definitely the Zoso Blade. Mm-hmm. Keep that always in the front of your mind, especially when we get toward the end. Because I think whenever we get to that final episode, whenever that is, that's going to be a barn burner because,
oh yeah,
you know, just like he's saying, you're going to get Emma in play, and then you're going to get Henry in play, and you're going to have Rumpelstiltskin around there, and then the evil Regina, and you've got all that going towards one final battle, and that's going to be incredible. But yeah, the Zoso Blade, that's a very interesting trinket. And it's also interesting just to think about all the different things that these people have that's connected to them. Emma's the blanket, Hansel and Gretel,
the compass.
Mm-hmm. So everyone has their thing.
Oh yeah.
So he's got his blade.
No happy accidents.
Right. True.
Very few happy accidents. Everything is there for a reason.
Right. And it is funny, you know, and my Star Wars has got to kick into play when he starts talking about a gold Abigail. I'm thinking, poor Han Solo in the carbonite, you know, and then just some magical thing. And then it ungolds her and then, you know, puts her into play. There you go. So.
And again, you know, I think pretty much in this series, just about anything is possible.
And I know I know who ungolded her and put her on the other side in Storybrooke.
I'm thinking it might be Evil Queen.
Right.
You think? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
however she got there, and just by the way, her name in the real world is Catherine.
Catherine.
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent. Excellent.
Nice. Yeah, very nicely done.
Hi guys. This is Mason from Oregon. And I'm just calling. I made a call last week in regards about what could happen to all the animal characters like Three Bears or the Big Bad Wolf. As I said, as if you've yet to read my email or the voicemail that I left, which I apologize for, I guess you guys will have a better theory than the crystallized version. After watching this week's episode, Desperate Souls, which I enjoyed very well. It lived up to my expectations. I think we were fairly right that Rumpel wasn't all that bad. It was an interesting aspect of giving him a child, because I never expected that. Because in the tale, he's an imp, in which I have no idea what that means. But my theory is he did it for his son. He wanted to free not just his son, but also the children of this meaningless war. And so I'm hoping we get to know more about that, because I was kind of expecting, pizzazz on his reasons of using children as a bargaining tool. And so that should be interesting should they touch on that. I noticed that in the episode after the Hansel and Gretel episode, we'll be seeing a new character. According to Wikipedia, they call him the Stranger. And so I don't know who that is, but my guess is it could be somebody that we might already know and didn't quite see until this particular episode. So who knows? One thing I'm really curious about is the Blue Fairy. She played a supporting role in the pilot where she helped Geppetto make the wardrobe. And even though she admitted that her magic could not undo Rumple's curse, she was yet able to make a quill that prevented him from using his magic at any cost. And so I found that a bit ironic that they allowed her to not fully stop Rumple's curse, but was able to freeze his powers and such. So my guess is she's probably somebody in Storybrooke, probably in a position that's kind of similar to hers. So I'm hoping that we'll get to see her again, because I'm curious about what happens.
Well, because my wife is more than an arm shot away, I'm interested in the Blue Fairy too. And what I mean by that, wait, let me explain. What I mean by that is who her other personage is in Storybrooke. That's what I mean.
Right.
I'm interested in who she could possibly
doesn't
be
have
in
to
Storybrooke.
Do with anything to do with the fact. Doesn't have no. anything to do with the fact that she's kind of cute.
I didn't even really notice.
Really?
I knew that she was a Blue Fairy.
Really? And you noticed Emma's blouse being very renaissance-y and fairy-tale-ish, yes. But you didn't notice that the Blue Fairy's kind of cute?
Well, now that you mention
she's not
it,
Ruby, but I mean...
Now that you mention it, you know, she's really not bad-looking, actually.
Right.
And, no, Colleen and I were talking about this today, and I think she could be a librarian.
Oh, yeah, she could
but
be.
You know, far stretch crazy idea is maybe she is a rich woman that has all this money, and maybe she thinks money can buy things, happiness, whatever. Hmm. And she'll realize that money really doesn't do it, that it's love or care, something like that. Because we're kind of seeing it happened really with the blind witch, because I don't believe she died in the fire.
Right.
At all.
Right.
But the blind witch in Storybrooke has really thick glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get a kick out of that.
Of course.
And so it's almost like kind of opposite-ish a little bit. You know,
well,
Snow White
so
is very
opposite.
Brash and running around and all this. And then in the town, she's a quiet little schoolmarm kind of, you know.
She got a little sassy streak in her, though.
Well, but not too much, though.
No, so, but she's anyway. Got a very sassy streak. And by the way, just to address Mason's thing about what an imp is, according to Wikipedia, and there's a really long description, but I'll kind of paraphrase a little bit. It's essentially a mythological being similar to a fairy or a demon, frequently described in folklore and superstition. The word may have derived from the term imp, and it's spelled Y-M-P-E, used to denote a young grafted tree. So that's kind of interesting.
Hmm.
It was originally from German folklore, and they're typically in German folklore, they're smaller, lesser demons. But, you know, here's the thing. Demons are not always evil in Germanic legends. So they're mischievous rather than evil or harmful. And in some regions, they were portrayed as attendants of the gods. So what they did was the whole thing with imps is, and why we refer to somebody as being impish, they love playing practical jokes, very big practical jokes. And usually what would happen is they would, they always, try to get human attention. And so they use their jokes and their pranks as means of attracting friendship, but it frequently backfired because people get so annoyed with their, you know, jokes that they would drive them away. And so even if they were successful in getting friendship, they still played pranks and jokes on their friends, or simply, you know, either out of boredom or because it was just their nature. And so, being associated with hell and fire, they take a specific pleasure from playing with temperatures. So
interesting.
Yes. And there's more. Believe me, there's more. So I highly recommend you Wikipedia the word imp.
And now you can, because it's not, right, it's blocked, not blocked anymore.
But yeah, no. Yeah, that's what it is.
Here's another one.
Cool.
Hi, this is Mason again. I just wanted to say thanks for answering my voicemail. And sorry that it was extremely long. And I noticed that you guys already answered about the blue fairy, but I'm still curious about who she could probably be if she survived the curse's transfer when it transported everybody to the real world. You know, my guess is she's probably in a higher position or in a small position like a librarian or something, but who knows. I was just listening to the podcast in which my voicemail popped up in, and I noticed that there was another thing that I was curious about, and that was what do you think happened to Cinderella's husband, Prince Thomas? You know, we know that Prince Charming survived by, from what I guess, a faint from the wound that he sustained when he was trying to protect Emma. But then again, though, we see Thomas in Storybrooke as Sean. So is it possible that at some point in the fairy tale world that Prince Thomas was found? That'd be my guess. And another theory of mine is the now I know. My other theory was on the whole curse itself. Like how could it affect people attempting to leave? Because I don't think we really saw its effect in the episode Price of Gold. Because if you remember at the beginning of that episode, Ashley, a.k.a. Cinderella, mentioned that she was starting to feel contractions. So my theory is this, is while she was driving, trying to get out of Storybrooke, her water broke, which probably caused her to panic and lose control of the car. And she hopefully, or obviously safely, got out of the accident when the car crashed. And so I don't think we really saw the effects the bad effects of the curse should anybody really leave. So that's my theory. We've yet to see an actual effect of the curse preventing people to leave. Thank you and have a good day. Bye.
You too. Thanks so much for calling back.
So the two things in there that I got out of that were what happened to Prince Thomas.
Yep.
And we did kind of mention this, that there's a theory, mm-hmm. and I kind of like this theory. I think it's pretty plausible. We don't have any evidence really to support it other than just kind of circumstantial. But we think potentially he could be the Frog Prince.
Yep.
Because his cloak or part of his cloak was found near the well, which the frog could have been inside the well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Cinderella wouldn't have looked inside the well. It was dark, number one. Number two, she wouldn't have looked for a frog. She was looking for Thomas. So that's where I think if he was the frog prince, he would have ended up being Sean in real life. Because as we know, Jiminy Cricket was a cricket in Fairytale World, and he's Archie Hopper in the real world. So that's point number one. The second point was the last point that he made.
What happens when you leave?
Right. We've never seen the effects of what happens when you leave. But we know that something bad happens because Henry keeps saying it. Now, the funny thing is has Henry seen anything happen to a fairy tale character? Or is he just assuming that's what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the book indicates that's what's going to happen.
There you go. And I think he believes in the book.
So strongly.
Yep. And he just reads.
But what's funny is, I mean, he said it. We've never had a stranger here. Nobody comes, nobody goes.
Right.
So, I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, yeah, he's a 10-year-old, so he doesn't know everybody. But, I mean, he kind of does because it's not that big of a town. So he probably knows everyone because everyone knows who he is. He's the mayor's son. So, I mean, it's kind of funny how, you know, 10-year-olds tend to exaggerate. We know this because we have a 10-year-old nephew. Well, he's actually 11 now. But anyway, point being that boys of that age, they tend to exaggerate a little bit. But he's pretty much been right on with everything. So I don't know. It's a toss-up.
It's one of those things that we all kind of – I have a little list of things I want to see. And that's on my list. What really happens when people leave, to leave?
Yeah.
Actually
– yeah, because again, did Henry see anything bad happen to anybody? And if he did, well, what happened? Who? Right. Who did it happen to? And as far as the Blue Fairy, yeah, we just kind of talked about that. Yep. We don't know who she is. But – you know what I was thinking? A thought came to my head. What if she's the principal of the school? Yeah. That'd be a high up position. And she would have the power to make things happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A little more power. I don't know. Just a thought. She could be the librarian. She could be any number of people.
True. We better move on.
Okay, let's move on.
I don't want to.
Yeah, let's not before you get yourself into trouble.
Hey, it's Tyler from Seattle. And, loved True North tonight. That was a wonderful episode. And I haven't gotten around to listening to your guys' new episode about it yet, but plan to later today or tomorrow. But before I forget about it, I remember seeing when old Rumpel was telling Emma who had bought the compass from him and that it was that person's name, and then it revealed the blank card. It made me wonder, well, did the guy ever actually buy the compass from the store, or did Rumpel just know who it was and wanted to help get back on Emma's good side? Just putting that out. Loving all the stuff you guys do and can't wait to hear more. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler. He's another one of our loyal fans.
That's true.
As well.
Absolutely true.
Loyal listeners.
He, Mr. Gold, I think, is just kicking this ball into play and moving this forward.
I do like what he said. Yep. I think that there's a part of him that is trying to get back in Emma's good graces because, again, when she breaks the evil curse, what's going to happen to him? He goes right back to prison, right?
Right.
He goes back to jail. So I'd be willing to bet he really wants to stay on her good side because he knows that's the fate. But he also knows that in order to get what he really wants, he has to, you know, kind of play the game, let it play out.
Oh, I forgot Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mason. I just thought of something that you asked about in your voicemail a few voicemails ago.
Yeah.
Now, someone called, I can't remember who, it may have been, I can't remember who, but they were saying that there's the magical tree, which gave us the magical wardrobe that transported Emma, which possibly also gave us the magical bars for Rumpelstiltskin's cell. And that part of that tree may have been the quill. Maybe.
No, no, no. That was your theory, honey. Remember, and I told you, you can't have a quill doesn't come from a tree. It comes from a bird.
Forget that, Mason. Sorry about that.
You're so cute.
Well, anyway. Well, there's... Okay, never mind.
The bars...
Sorry, Mason.
The bars of the prison, totally. That's, you know, I can see where that's a possibility. But the quill, not so much.
Stay in school, kids.
Remember we had this conversation?
I know. Okay.
Well, we had this conversation on the podcast, too. You're so cute.
Somebody's going to review that now.
Okay, no, they won't. Here we go. You're too cute.
Hey, it's Tyler again. Just got done listening to the first thoughts on True North. And one thing that I don't believe you guys mentioned was the interesting connection between the origins of how Hansel and Gretel got to the woods in the book and the end results in Storybrooke, because it's the first story in the Once Upon a Time book that I got recently. It's the one officially through ABC/Disney, Disney's printing press. So, but the thing I noticed is that in the book, they were a very poor family, and they did go to the woods, all four of them. The two kids, the father, and the stepmother went to the woods together, and the stepmother was the one who decided to leave them in the woods, and the father felt really bad about it. And then, actually, I believe it took them two attempts to actually get rid of the kid, because the first time the kid had left something in the ground and they followed that back, they could see it by the moonlight. The second time he tried to leave bread, but the animals had eaten it, so they lost their way. But the interesting thing is that the father really didn't want to have anything to do with getting rid of his kids. But then in a storybook, all they had left was their father. Their mother was gone, and I thought that was interesting, so I didn't know if that was in reference to the stepmother thing. And at first, when I saw the trailer, I thought that the Evil Queen was going to turn out to be their stepmother, too, because I know that in the story, it was the stepmother who really wanted to get rid of them so that she and the father could live. You know, they could afford to support themselves. But I thought it was very interesting the way they connected this without actually showing you all that history. So just wanted to say that. And over the course of listening to your two episodes tonight, at the beginning, I had like 5 inches of snow outside my house from earlier in the day, and then by the time I got to the first thoughts, it was sort of lightly snowing, and now that that episode of the podcast just got over, it's snowing hard again. I won't be surprised if I have up to like 7 to 10 inches in the morning, so I just thought I'd share that. It's snowing, finally. It didn't snow a single night during Christmas season, but hey, at least I'm finally getting some here. I love snow, and I also thought it was an interesting connection to Once Upon a Time because of Snow White. So, there's those for you, and thanks for mentioning my Robin Hood theory. Didn't know if you would or not, so thanks for mentioning that. And have a great rest of the week. So, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
Enjoy the snow. We don't have any down here, but
no. I think the last time I saw snow, actual physical snow in person, was probably, oh gosh, we're talking almost 14 years ago.
Yep.
It's crazy. Anywho.
Thanks for the info about the Hansel and Gretel story.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And it sounds to me like, and we don't have that book yet, but it sounds to me like they're following the traditional fairy tales mm-hmm. in that book more than they're following the show itself, which is really cool right. because in the actual, like Tyler said, in the real book, in the real story, the original story, there were two attempts. The stepmother was the one who convinced the father who did not, he's absolutely right, did not want to, you know, leave the kids, but they couldn't feed four mouths. So they decided, okay, well, the kids are young. They can pretty much kind of fend for themselves. And so they dragged them off in the woods, and they had two attempts. And the first one was pebbles in the moonlight. And then the second one was the birds and the animals eating all the crumbs. So yeah, it's really interesting.
So thank you again.
Yes.
And here's the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Mason. I caught today's podcast on January 16th, 2012, and I'm from Oregon. So I had an interesting theory after watching last night's episode, True North, or as I call it, Hansel and Gretel. As we now know, the apple from the infamous Snow White story has switched from being a normal poisonized apple to a possible magical artifact. And which I thought that was kind of creepy, you know, not too far down the road. And it seems like it's the second oldest, if we're talking timelines, it's probably the second oldest or third oldest, tale of what happened in fairy tale land before, the curse was set. So now we have two episodes set way in the past. Obviously, we know Hansel and Gretel's story is taking place during Snow White's during Snow White's working in the forest when she's hiding out with the dwarves. I have a theory on episode 4, Price of Gold, and if I get cut off, I'll call back again. As we know, there's the curse, and it'll punish anyone who attempts to leave. Well, we don't necessarily know how that is possible, because Ashley, a.k.a. Cinderella, is the only one who has truly attempted to leave on her own. But as we know, she was pregnant. My theory is this. Ashley was driving when she was, when she had Mr. Gold's, contract, or Rumpel's contract, and while she was driving, her water broke, and that might have caused her to not only panic, but also, lose complete control of her car. And when the car crashed, the curse probably showed a little mercy on her by not fatally injuring her or the baby. And that's my theory. I mean, is it possible that the curse hasn't shown its punishment yet, or it will with this new stranger, who some are already believing could be the Big Bad Wolf, since Emma and Henry directed him in the direction of Granny's bed and breakfast. So who knows? That might answer one of my questions that I sent earlier about the animals, you know?
Well, he got cut off.
Okay.
So that could be. He could be the Big Bad Wolf. But don't forget that there's a whole animal shelter. Mm-hmm. Full of animals, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's where they are.
Maybe.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now David works there.
Yeah. David said he volunteers at the shelter. So or got a job at the shelter.
And Ken showed us on the map where the animal shelter is.
Yay. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Now we have yet another theory about Mr. Strange Man.
Yep.
Hot Stranger. Hot Stranger could be Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah. I was going to play it again, but you get scared.
Yeah, don't scare me.
Okay,
here's I don't think I can take it if you do.
I think we have two more voicemails. Here's second to the last. Here we go.
Hi, guys. This is Mason again from Oregon. As I said in my previous voicemail, I probably get cut off. Another theory of mine is, what do you guys think might have happened to the Blue Fairy when the curse was set? She's the only semi-major character we've yet to see in Storybrooke. My theory is she probably either became some kind of regular resident or probably a social worker. You know, that'd be my guess. It's probably could be a social worker. But I am curious about her background. And yet, I know you guys discussed this in either last week's podcast about whether or not she would be the same Blue Fairy who was able to prevent Rumpel from using his natural magic, like making the deals and such. My guess is it could be the same one. She has shown that she has almost the same amount of power as maybe Maleficent or the Evil Queen herself. You know, we saw her able to enchant the wardrobe, and yet she says she couldn't stop Rumpel's curse. So I'm kind of curious to hear what you guys think of that. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So this is, let's see. Okay.
Sorry.
When we're dealing with a story and there are two arch enemies, let's say there's the good guy and there's the bad guy. If one could cancel the other one out immediately, there wouldn't be a story. So right. I think that there are times when the good is really powerful and does some damage to the bad. And sometimes the bad is really powerful and does some damage to the good. So it's almost like a Rocky Balboa fight. And so if both were just so powerful, they could just destroy each other or cancel the other one out, it would be a very short story. So,
right. Well, it's kind of like a clock. There has to be, everything has to fit in its specific place.
Right.
In order for the clock to work, right? You have all the gears and the knobs and the springs and things like that. And granted, some of those things are very, you know, important on by themselves. You could do stuff with them. But the fact is, unless they're all put in the right place, in the right order, it's not going to work.
It's kind of like romance and kind of like missed opportunities.
Yeah.
If it happened automatically right up front, there would be no mystery to it. There would be no... like a dance. There wouldn't be that.
Right.
And so, you know, the ladies on Twitter and the fans of Once Upon a Time just died all in one swoop when the little meeting over by the troll bridge or the toll bridge did not happen.
Oh, right.
Hearts just broke all over the place.
Right. Well, but and again, when they were putting up posters for the sheriff position in Desperate Souls where... you know, oh, they're on opposite sides. Yeah, they're going to be for a while.
Right. So, you know, and now
if they were meant to be together, it'll happen. But if it happens immediately, where's the show going to go?
Right. So next week, it looks like there's going to be some little more little sparks here. So, but I think we're going to see ebbs and flows because yes. I think once they get together, they're going to be united front. And then that's when things will really start to happen. So yep. I think it's going to be a little bit here and there, but not fully. Just like we're talking about the Blue Fairy, is only powerful enough to do this, but not
right.
wipe them out.
Right.
And could only enchant the one wardrobe, and only could enchant it for one person. So there's limitations. So,
absolutely.
Anyway,
but I think there always is anyway.
Right.
Makes it more interesting.
Here's the last voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, this is Julie from Montgomery County, Maryland. And I was re-watching Lost with my husband and noticed that Lana Perea, who plays Evil Queen, of course, was actually on Lost in a couple episodes. She was in the hatch with Charlie and got shot by Mikhail. So I was having a nerd alert and really excited about that when we were watching Lost. So I don't remember you guys mentioning that before. I thought I would do that. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Julie. Yeah. I don't know that we ever have really mentioned it. We may have done it briefly in passing a long, long time ago. But yeah, we are fascinated by where a lot of these people have been, what they've done, some of the stuff that, you know, I think the only one we've really, really talked about is Jennifer Goodwin.
Right.
Because I think we know more about what she's done work-wise.
Well, to be honest, I did do a blog post on this, and it was, where have I seen her before?
Oh, okay.
And it was the different roles that Lana had played, and one of them was Lost. And if I remember right, I think it was Faustino favorited that tweet.
Oh, did he really?
About that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So like I said, thank you, Julie, so much for calling and letting us know that. But just remember, the blog is out there and there's all kinds of little cool things there. You just never know what you're going to find. So go and check that out, and you'll be very, very surprised.
Yes.
So.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
I want to give big love to everybody who listened in.
Yeah, we had some great voicemails tonight.
Absolutely. And who have called in and emailed in and all that. The forum's coming. And we appreciate your support and your kind words. And just like I tweeted out yesterday, we feel the love from you guys. We really, really
do.
Yeah,
we do.
And the best is yet to come. So we're going to say nighty and night.
Yeah.
We're going to go to sleep now. And but big love to everybody.
Yep.
And especially Canada, because I messed up on where things were, Newfoundland and stuff.
And, no, that was me. I was the one who messed that up royally.
We messed it up together. Anyway, so big love to everybody. And thank you so much to all the new people. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening. And we hope you stick around. And if you really like it, tell a friend or 8 or 10 mm-hmm. and invite them to listen in as well.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okie dokie.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.